Brother Tommy Hershberger from Shiloh in Due West has come with to help Brother Merv this morning with the ordination, and he's going to be bringing the message, and then Brother Merv will be coming after that, and he will proceed with the ordination. So, Tommy, Lord bless you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I bring greetings from Shiloh. As a shameless plug, we are having a school sale next Saturday. So if you have any extra available funds, you're welcome to come and spend them up there. I want to welcome everyone to come up. You can come up on a Sunday morning, too. Just full disclosure, the other night in the meeting, I did offer Curtis and Alyssa to come to Shiloh and be deacon there. I tried to give them both jobs, and they declined me, so apparently they want to stay in this area, and they think their roots are here. So, it's good to be here. I know a lot of people in this church, have a lot of connections to people. Dale and Sam's would have lived in our area when I was just a little boy. I clearly remember Sam preaching. And I don't know when they would have moved down here, 85, so I would have been about 6 years old. Reuben and Sally, they have a son that I went to first grade with and maybe second grade. I think his birthday may be in March. It is. So he's a month older than I am. I have some connections to down here. This morning we're here with Mervin, and I have connections with him as well that go back 20 years probably. I seen him in prison one time or two. Our family used to do some singing in prison, and Mervin would preach for us some, and I think today we've got this little mixed up. I'm the one preaching, and he's, I don't know that he'll be singing, but I'll be the one doing the preaching anyway. So, it is good to be here. My wife is with me this morning, my wife Jolene, and she too has connections to many here, to juniors, to the Wangers that were from Cochranton, Pennsylvania, Sam's as well, is where she comes from. So lots of connections. Our four children did not come with us this morning. We have a daughter who's 19, and then we have three boys, 13, 11, and 9. So they did not come with us. But this morning, I want to get started with just a short little story. It says, after a long and boring sermon, the parishioners filed out of the church, saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermon. Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God. The pastor was thrilled. No one has ever said anything like that about any of my preaching before. Tell me, he said, what reminded you of the peace and love of God? He said, well, it reminded me of the peace of God, he said, because it passed all understanding. And the love of God because it endured forever. Hopefully this morning, that will not be the case. I'm not typically long-winded. And this morning, the title of my sermon is Apple Dumplings. And it's going to take a while for that to make sense. I'm going to be real honest. Maybe quite foolishly, maybe a little naive, asked Mervin what he would like me to share on this week, today. And he said the congregation's responsibilities to its leaders. So, I assure you that this sermon has not been preached by me in our church. It is a brand new sermon. And oftentimes when you go away, you preach something you've preached before, and it's maybe a little easier. I think of kind of like spaghetti or lasagna. I love spaghetti and lasagna, my favorite meals. And they're just almost better a day later because they don't have a chance to soak up all that good sauce in the noodles. And at times, years ago, my wife used to go visit her parents in Pennsylvania. She'd be gone for a week, and she'd make just a big pot of spaghetti, and I'd eat on that all week. But this sermon has not soaked up any good red sauce, so you're going to get the first draft of it. But as I thought about the congregation's responsibilities to the church, to the leaders, and it's not something that we as leaders feel very comfortable sharing on, because we don't want to toot our own horn. We don't want to make you feel like you should do something that you don't want to do. But there is scripture that goes with that. So today we're going to read some scripture, and we're going to talk about it. And one of the things that I think of when I think of the leaders in this church, the leaders in our church, is that I don't know that any of them ask for the position that they have. I didn't see any campaign signs on the way up through, but saying Friday night, saying vote for Curtis. I wasn't greeted by a campaign coordinator. He assured me he wasn't campaigning for it. So these people that are your leaders, this is not a position that they ask for. It is a position that they feel God has called them to, and that the church is calling them to. So there is a responsibility for the church to care for its leaders. They are here as your servants to serve you. I feel quite certain of that. I know them somewhat, and I get to know them more and more as we meet together as a region. So they're here to serve you and to care for you. So this morning we're going to talk about ways that you can help them better serve you. So the first scripture that I have to go to this morning is 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read 7 to 11, then I'm going to skip down to verse 15 as well. And Paul is talking to the Corinthians here, and he's talking about supporting ministers and elders and the apostles. And he says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends the flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing if we reap your material things. So he's talking about supporting the apostles, supporting the leaders in the church. Whoever goes to war at his own expense. Soldiers that go and fight, they don't have to buy their own bullets. They don't have to buy their own guns. They go at the expense of the people who are sending them. Plant a vineyard. It's coming up on garden season, and I don't know whether y'all garden or not. But our family usually gets together, and my dad loves to garden. And he plants a huge garden. He'll plant 200 tomato plants. No, he does not eat them all. He loves to give stuff away. But who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Who plants a garden and doesn't eat of its fruit? Who isn't allowed to eat of the fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Pastors need to be supported some way. And I know it's not easy, especially in our Mennonite Anabaptist churches. It's not something that we do very, very good or very much, is that we hire a preacher, and we have different reasons for that. But there is a way to support them. But it goes on down to verse 15. It says, Paul says, "But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than anyone should make my boasting void." Paul didn't want them to say, we made this possible for you to do, talking to the Corinthians. But then you flip back to Philippians 4, to Corinthians. Philippians 4, 10 to 18. And Paul's again talking about getting support. He says, "But I rejoice greatly that now," verses 10 to 18, "that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And then it goes verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, but having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So we do have some instruction to give to the leaders of the church to help them out. And I don't know how you do it. Growing up at Whispering Pines, they had the fifth Sunday of the month, I think. Whenever there was a fifth Sunday, that went to the ministers. At Shiloh, we have a percentage of the offerings that go into a pastor's fund. And that fund is used for traveling, for MEW, for convention. And let me tell you, it is a huge blessing to us as ministers to be able to take the time off and go to MEW, to take the time off and go to convention. And yes, still miss work, but we know that our expenses that we have that will cost for lodging, for travel, we know that they will be paid. We don't have to pay those. So I encourage you to make an effort. We have young families here, Curtis and Harley's. Dale's are not as young anymore as they used to be. But help them get there. Help them get to meet with other ministers. Make it easier for them to go. It's not cheap, and it's not getting any cheaper. But the encouragement that you can get from MEW and convention and those things like that, if we want to go to EBI for the pastor's training, we can go to that. It doesn't cost us anything. Make it possible for them to go. It will benefit your church, and it will benefit them as well. And then another way that we can support them, that you can support your ministers, is 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. It says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Recognize those who labor among you. These men labor among you with their families as well. They prepare sermons. And I don't know how they do it, but it usually takes me a full Saturday of studying to prepare a sermon. So once a month at least, I'm guessing, their Saturday, their day off, is spent laboring over the word. Or maybe there's an evening when somebody's in the hospital, and who gets called? It's going to be these guys right here. Who's expected to go? These guys and their families. Think about those things, those people who labor, your brothers who don't think twice about, I have things that I would want to do. But they'll drop what they're going to do and they're going to come spend their time to visit you or to visit someone else in the hospital. They're over you in the Lord and admonish you. No one likes to be admonished. But they do it, maybe in person, maybe they do it corporately over the pulpit. Warn you, reprimand you, but it says in love. They do it not because they want to. They do it because they're called to. And because they love you. And they don't want to see you fall astray, walk away. They do it for the building of the church. Because God has called them to. So give them, esteem them very highly, it says, in love. Give them that love back. Give them that respect back. Don't just blow off what they say. They step on your toes sometimes. Maybe they need it stepping on. But I challenge you, in the recent last couple months, I've been thinking about, as people, we get our toes stepped on sometimes in church. Sometimes the word steps on our toes. Sometimes it challenges us. And I find myself, like it talks about when you look in the looking glass in Corinthians, and I see where I need change, and I walk away and forget where I need that change at. If something they say to you, maybe the way they live their life sticks out to you as, I want to be like that. Don't just say, I want to be like that, and turn around and walk away and go on right like you're doing. We can all look in the mirror and see that some of us need to lose a little bit of weight. I, for one. And I know exactly what it takes to lose weight. I need to eat less and exercise more. But I don't want to go through what it takes to lose a little bit of weight. And sometimes when we get our toes stepped on, we know that there's something that needs to be cut out of our life. But we don't want to go through the pain of cutting that out of our life. So when they come to you, and when they admonish you, listen to what they had to say. Give them the time. 1 Timothy 5, 17 to 20. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. So there's ways that we need to treat our elders here again, our leaders. Those who rule well are worthy of double honor. Give them the honor that they are due. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And the ESV translation says preaching and teaching. These men that are up here Sunday after Sunday preaching and teaching. Give them the honor they deserve. And again, the laborer is worthy of his wages. And then it goes on to verse 19. And if you've been in ministry long enough, you'll probably have somebody who has something to say about something that you did that they don't like. Be careful. Be careful with that. If you have an accusation against somebody, make sure it's not just your feelings being hurt. And you want to strike out at one of the elders. They're not perfect men. I'm pretty sure of that. I haven't maybe experienced that for my own, but I'm pretty sure they're not perfect. And I'm pretty sure they would tell you that. But be careful how you accuse them. They are God's servants. And do the best that they can. And then we go to Hebrews 13. Verse 17. And it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Obey those who rule over you. Again, we see the rule over you part. Your ministers are here to help. They're here to guard the door of this church, to try to keep things out that maybe aren't scriptural, that aren't biblical. And sometimes you may not always agree with them. And if there's a time where they go against the Bible, you shouldn't agree with them. But I don't think we have that problem here. But sometimes there's disagreements in interpretation. Sometimes there's things maybe in your church standards or your church doctrine or whatever it is that you don't really want to agree to. You don't really want to submit to. But it says, be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. They're going to give account one day for each one of you. It says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. At work, I work at a shed / cabin shop. I'm in the cabin side of it, and we have two teams. One is a finishing team, and one is the rough in team. They build the box, and then they rough in all the electrical and plumbing, and my team comes behind and does the finishing part of it. And we have what's called a team leader for each crew, and that team leader is responsible to make sure that the job is done right. They have to sign off on the work that the other people on their team do. And if it's not right, that team leader has to give account for it, has to correct it, has to make it right. That's what these men are here. These men are here to make sure or to help you live your life in a right way, to give account. They're here giving approval or disapproval of the way that you live your life. It says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And as you think about raising children, and sometimes a child is faced with a choice to make, and as a parent, you have to stand your ground. And maybe the decision that they make, maybe it brings you as a parent joy, and maybe it doesn't bring you joy. Maybe there's discipline that's involved. And if so, that's unprofitable for that child. Don't make their ministers come to you with discipline issues. We're all grown adults. We know how to live. We have the Bible. Follow the Bible. Follow the Word. And then the last scripture that I have is 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. And Paul is talking to them here. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Pray for your leaders. They need your prayers. They need to know that you're praying for them. It's very simple to pick up the phone and send a text message and say, "I'm praying for you." Say, "I'm praying for you." If you know they're studying for a sermon, if they're on to preach that week, let them know you're praying for them. Give them a call. Stop by. Say, "I'm praying for you." They're going through a hard time. "I'm praying for you." The devil would love nothing more than to see the leaders of your church fall. Lift them up. Support them with prayer. So I have those four options. Support them financially. Help them out when you can. Respect and honor them. Obey them. Pray for them. And I have some personal things for you. Remember, it's not just their church. It's your church as well. When there's a service, come prepared. Show up. On a Wednesday night, show up. You're tired, I know, you're working. It's been a long week. Show up. If there's revival meetings, show up. Nothing makes that minister, that preacher smile more than to have someone come and his church shows up. Be there for your ministers. Take part. Be prepared. Don't just show up and complain. There's a story about a man and his son who were out of town fishing. And it happened to be that they were there on Sunday. And the little boy wanted to go to a local church there. And so him and his dad went to church, and the offering basket was passed. And the dad reached in his pocket. He didn't have any dollar bills on him, so he pulled out a dime. And he gave it to his boy to put into the offering plate. And as they left there, they were walking out to their car, and the dad is like, "Boy, that wasn't a very good church service. It was kind of boring. Went too long. Singing was off key." As the little boy climbed in the car next to his dad, he was thinking, he was like, "Well, Dad, he said it was pretty good for the dime it cost you." If you don't put anything in, don't expect much out. Don't complain about the service, about the preacher in front of your children. I know sometimes as husband and wife, you discuss things, but don't do it in front of your children. That doesn't do them any favors. That doesn't do them any good. It doesn't make them want to come to church. Friendship. Show these guys, these ladies, some friendship. It's especially important for the wives. One of the struggles. Take care of their families. Nothing means more to the minister than to have somebody drop something off for their children. To say, "We thought about you this week." My boys asked me what I'm preaching on today, and I told them about the church's responsibility to support the preachers. I said, "What do you think is a good idea?" And this was the 9 and 11-year-old, and they both agreed that it was food. They like food. But sometimes it's not always easy being the minister and his wife as well. I remember the time that we delivered food to one of the people in our church. We delivered a meal. And then we went to Burger King. And that's okay. That's okay, Curtis. If she's tired and she's made a meal, take her to Burger King. Pastor's Appreciation Month. I don't know whether y'all do that in October or not, but you should. Show them you care. Give them cards. We can usually eat out almost all year long on the gift cards we get from our people in our church. We don't eat out every week from on them. And maybe it doesn't cover a whole meal, but it's something we can do. If it's been a bad day or it's been a hard day, go get we got a jar with gift cards in it. And we go dig out a gift card and we go out to eat. Take care of your pastor and their family. And I'm finally getting to apple dumplings, because we have a family in our church that every year they go to the mountains and get apples. And it's in October, which is Pastor Appreciation Month. And you can count on it. One night, there's going to be a knock at the door, and there's going to be a big pan of apple dumplings. And they're usually hot and fresh. And we're not the only family that gets them. The other ministers get them too. Take them some apple dumplings. Take care of your ministers. They're out there working for you. When you go on vacation, you pack up what you have. Pack up your clothes, your whatever it takes to go wherever you're going, and you leave. They can't do that. They're still thinking about Sunday morning service when they're 600 miles away. They're still wondering if something else got dropped because they weren't there to make sure it happened. Take care of them. Turn the time over to Mervyn.
Hey, good morning to all of you. Extend greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Certainly, Tommy, I appreciate your message this morning. Very practical, may I say, where the rubber meets the road. Friday evening we were talking about the fact that, you know, God gives different gifts to different people for the edifying of the body of Christ. And yes, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, yes, this is, and I believe the local congregation, yes, that is very much a part of God's plan. And yes, you right here, the New Holland Mennonite Church, you are a part of God's plan. God has a purpose. God has a plan for this congregation. And yes, he has given different gifts to different people to function as a body of believers and to work together for the growth and edifying of the body, and then reaching out to a community and a world around us. And so, yes, we're in this thing together. We're laborers together with God to fulfill his purpose and his plan. Again, I just want to thank you as a congregation for your response on Friday evening, and just say this of the votes that were given. It was a full support to move ahead with the ordination, and thank you for that. And thank you for your support and your words of encouragement. And we believe that God has spoken clearly through you as a congregation. And with that, we do want to move on with the ordination here this morning. So, Brother Curtis. Brother Tommy, would you come and join me for this? And Brother Curtis, the Lord, through his church, has called you to fulfill the office of deacon among his people. As an indication of your willingness to accept this call, please answer the following questions as your vows of submission and faithfulness. Number one. Are you willing to accept the call to this service and do your promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself to the work which this office requires of you as a faithful laborer in the Church of Christ? Do you promise to give heed to all the teachings of the Word of God, to accept them as a rule and guide of your life, and to seek to teach them as far as the duties of the office of deacon shall require of you, and faithfully to abide in them? Thank you. Are you willing to assist in conducting the congregation in which you are called to labor in accordance with the teachings of Scripture as interpreted and practiced by the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, seeking at all times and in all things to show yourself an approved servant in the vineyard of the Lord? Thank you. Mr. Alicia. The work of the deacon may be greatly helped or hindered by the attitude and support of the spouse. In order that you may share in the dedication of your partner's calling, will you answer these questions? Do you concur with your spouse the sense of call to this ministry, and do you likewise dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to this service as a call from the Lord? Thank you. Are you willing to be supportive of your spouse's role and give of your own gifts and time in a ministry to the church? Thank you for that response. You may kneel at this time, and we'll invite pastors and family to come join us for the prayer, the commissioning. And if there's any other ministers here this morning, if you'd like to come, we welcome you to join us as well for the commissioning and the prayer time. Brother Curtis, upon this confession and these promises which you have made before God and these witnesses, we charge and ordain you as a deacon. Serve the Lord and the church faithfully by teaching and example. Serve the practical needs of those whom you are called to serve, both in the church and without. Likewise, give heed unto yourself. Walk circumspectly, read the word, meditate upon its precious precepts, pray without ceasing, and in all these things seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue in these things, for in so doing, you will save yourself and those you serve. May God, who called you to this high and holy calling, fill you with the Holy Spirit, give you grace and wisdom, and bless you in all things through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we come to prayer, and I'm going to ask Tommy to lead out, and then anyone else that would like to pray, feel free to lead out, and then I will close.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for Brother Curtis, Alyssa. Father, I pray that you would just be with them this morning. Father, I pray that you would be with them as they're willing to take this step to follow in the calling that you have given them and you've laid on their life. Father, I pray that you would equip him for what you have for him. Father, I pray that you would fill in the gaps where he feels like he can't do it. Father, I pray that you would just strengthen him and lift him up to you. Father, be with him as he fills this role, as continues to fill this role of deacon. Father, I pray that you would give him wisdom and knowledge to know what to do and when to do it, what to say. Father, I pray that you would just be with him as he leads out here at church. Father, for his family, Father, I pray that you would watch over them. Father, I pray that their hearts would not be hardened because Dad's not around. Father, I pray that you would just be with them. Father, I pray that you would bless them for being willing to be used in this way. Bless their life and bless their family. In your name I pray.
Father, we thank you this morning for your presence with us here today. And God, I thank you for the calling that you have placed on Curtis's life today. God, I just pray that you would give him courage and strength to walk in that calling. I pray that you would bless Curtis and Alyssa and their family as they fulfill this calling. God, I just also pray for the congregation here, that each one, that we would be able to point others to Christ here and in the community as we come in contact. God, I just thank you again for your great love to us today.
Father, this morning I want to thank you for the strength and grace that you give us as people. And I pray especially this morning for Curtis as a father. God, you've given him an extra responsibility, but help him never to forget Carter, Brooklyn, Jameson, and Violet. And to always be willing to step aside and take the time that he needs for his family. Yes, you've given him another responsibility in the church. But God, we just pray that you would give him the strength and the grace that he can continue to lead his family in an honorable way. And that this family will not grow up to resent his call to the church. We pray a blessing on each of them this morning in a special way.
Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer this morning, we thank you for this occasion. We thank you for the way that you do provide for your church, for the local congregation. Thank you for the call that you've given to Brother Curtis. And thank you that you have enabled him, you have empowered him. And Lord, thank you for his willingness to say yes to the call. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing on Curtis and Alicia. Lord, we commit them to you and their family, Lord, each of their children. Lord, may you bless them abundantly. Bless them as a family, Lord, and keep them in your care. And Lord, we do thank you that you are the one that provides. You are the one that meets us at our point of need. And we can trust you with today and the future. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint Brother Curtis in a fresh way, Lord, to fulfill your purpose, your plan, your work that you have for him in the congregation here and beyond. And Lord, as a couple, may you bless Curtis and Alicia, Lord, that they may serve you together and be the salt and light. And Lord, the encouragement, the blessing as they reach out
to the people around them. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your provisions. And we do commit them to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
We are going to, Curtis and Alyssa will stay here for a little while after the service if you want to come up and greet them, or we'll be hanging out in the gym over lunch. Another part of what we enjoy doing is eating. And Tommy, you got that right. Your boys got it right. I know where they got it, from your dad. So we just welcome all of you to stay and join us and fellowship over lunch. And we would love to spend that time with you as well. The food committee will let us know when it's time, but we'll probably be corralling you out there before that so that we're moved over there, so when they're ready, we can go ahead and start with lunch. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Reuben, do you have a chorus that we can use at the end or a song? 43 in the folders. You can stand, and we will pray for lunch and ask the Lord's blessing on our afternoon as well. Father, this morning we again see it as a privilege to be here. See it as a privilege to be part of this body this morning, to be part of this group that is here and supporting the work of the church, no matter where we're from. And we thank you for the work of the church, the work of the Spirit in our lives, in our hearts. And help us, Father, to not ever get to the point where we don't recognize our need for you. And this morning we pray especially for our noon meal. We thank you for those who have worked hard to put this together for us. And I just pray that you would bless our time together over this food. As we fellowship, as we learn to know each other better, that we would just be able to minister to each other in special ways during this time. We ask that you would go with us this week. Bless each one in the activities of this coming week. Father, that most of all, our lives, our actions would point others to Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.